Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we've got a brand new guest today. We got so many things to go over: mining companies, Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, gold, the whole works, and another independent trader investor, a new friend of the program, Andrew Higgins. It's actually, we'll call him Drew Higgins. Drew, welcome to the show, man. Great to have you on.
Hey, great to be here.
So, Drew, now that we get right into it, so you're out on the left coast. Now you're out in California, right? And you've done some independent trading, you do some investing, and I know that you're very heavily involved into the mining companies. And I know one of your things is you like to find a lot of these low risk, high reward type of plays. Tell us about yourself and kind of things that you do.
Well, I'm right now, I have a whole bunch of, I'm looking at mining companies. I love these penny stock miners that are nobody knows of. And, they're just like so cheap to get into and they have so much potential. I mean, some of these stocks are going to be in the thousands of percent return on investment. And some of them are already taking off. So it's not like, in a way it's a prediction, but some of them you can look at the numbers and it's like arguing whether the sun's going to rise after it's already risen. If they're already taking off, the bull market and the metals and the miners has already started.
I would agree with that. I mean, I do a lot of work for Kitco, and a couple of weeks ago I had said that the bear market in the metals is over, and we're now getting ready to reverse and turn around. So I would have no problem with that. Now, you talk about penny stocks, and you know those who listen to me most, I'm not a big advocate. I've taken my share of shots at penny stocks. I mean, I've got one I keep just to remind me that I've owned for 20 years that I've been promised. It happens to be in the field we're talking about. But at the end of the day, I understand there is value. How do you go about finding value in penny stocks? What is the things? Are there some prerequisites you look for? I mean, tell us how you do your work that you prepare to find these nice stocks.
Okay, well, here's one of the things I do. I read everything on the website from the companies. I start with the investors page. You know, they usually have like a cheat sheet page for investors, and I read everything. And I look for 43-101s. If they have a 43-101, that's a good thing. If they have actual reserves as opposed to resources, resources are not economically feasible for mining at a profit. So reserves are. And a lot of these penny stocks, some of them have that kind of stuff. And then I look for who's involved in the company. I have a company that I'm in called Tonnel Gold with a ticker of TNGL. You got some of the wealthiest people in the world involved in this company. You got Jordan Mullis, who's on the board. His dad is Ken Mullis of Mullis & Co. They're handling the Saudi Arabian Aramco going public. You got Gustavo Mazon on the board of directors. His family's, they're billionaires. They're one of the wealthiest families in Mexico. And Gustavo's father, if you Google him, he's known as a philanthropist and a business tycoon, that's my goal in life, to be remembered as a business tycoon. Eddie Sugar's involved in this thing. Eddie Sugar is with EAS Advisors. He helped bankroll Andrew Forrest and took Fortescue Metals from literally nothing to one of the biggest iron ore mining companies in the world. These are the kind of people involved in this company. And in my opinion, it's worth taking a small, you know, don't mortgage your house and put everything you got into it, but it's worth taking a small risk on a company like that that has so many interesting people. And I have some other companies too, Maritime Resources. They're an awesome company. They're selling for 8 cents right now. They have a $71 million pre-tax net present value and a market cap of $8 million. They've done a pre-feasibility study. They have one of the richest gold mines in the region up in Newfoundland and Labrador. They're an awesomely undervalued company, and they're a near-term producer as well. Nippon Dragon is on my list. Nippon Dragon has a thermal fragmentation technology that's probably going to revolutionize the mining business. Everybody, they can mine material for a fraction of the cost that people are paying now, and it's a green energy technology. I think this is going to be the equivalent of what fracking did to the oil industry. Those are two of my favorite. Another favorite is Dolly Varden Silver. That when Hecla Mining tried to buy them out, and I think they own 19% of them, but they were rejected. I mean, that's an awesome company. Now, that's an exploration company. I don't believe they're a near-term producer, but still, it's a way to buy silver at less than a dollar an ounce.
All right. So now, before we get too far into this, and I obviously I'm writing all these down, I'm feverishly hoping that maybe I can find the next one that goes to a billion, but explain to the listeners, what's the difference between reserves and resources?
Well, a reserve is, I'm probably not going to, well, let me put it this way. A reserve is something that's bankable. When a geologist goes out to you buy some land somewhere and you have a geologist go out and drill some holes and they do some studies. If he says you have reserves, once he signs a document saying that you have X number of reserves, you can take that document to the bank and get a loan on that. You can, that's like provable. That's the highest level of provable resources, or it's the highest level of, there's that much gold in the ground per ton. Usually they'll say there's 1 ounce per ton or however many ounces per ton there are. The geologist will say that, and he will sign it and put his seal on it. And basically that's literally as good as gold. But that's what you want to see. If they have a 43-101 with reserves, and a lot of companies will put on their website all their resources. And, that's just most of the time a resource is not economically viable to mine at a profit. You can mine your resources and lose money doing it. But who wants to invest in a company that's doing that? You want to have reserves and then you want that's what makes Maritime such a great company. They have a pre-feasibility study that explains exactly how they are going to mine their reserves at a profit, and those will go. It's basically a business plan for how they're going to make a mine at a profit.
Okay, it all makes sense. And listen, I know a guy that one time, and this goes back a long time ago, but he sold everything he had and mortgaged everything he had, and he bought one stock, and it was a penny stock, and of course it happened to hit, and he happened to retire. But again, I get it, and I appreciate the work you're doing and looking at it. We're going to come back and look at more of these with Drew Higgins after the break. We're going to come back and get his views on a lot of these things, and we'll be right back after the break with more from Drew. And Drew Higgins is being brought to you by Casper Mattress, the mattress people, Casper.com. And to get $50 off of a mattress purchase, go to CasperTrial.com and you can get yourself a nice good night's sleep at CasperTrial.com/TheBubba Show. In the meantime, don't forget, every day after the close, I do a 4 to 6 minute Bubba's Bottom Line, in which I recap what happened during the day in the markets and give you some insight into the day coming ahead. So make sure you check that out, as well as libertytalk.fm. You can download the Bubba Show every single day, and make sure you do, as well as the Sporting Edge. Help a brother out. And don't forget to check out bubbatrading.com. Again, we try to do the best we can to help you make more money, help you become successful, and obviously we offer a lot of things at no charge, so you can certainly check it out. Feel free to do so. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with more from Drew Higgins after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Drew Higgins, independent investor and trader, and very specializes in the mining stocks, and actually specializes in a lot of the penny stocks and things like that. So Drew, we've got, you know, obviously there's a lot of choices out there, and I think also, how do you eliminate? We know the story about penny stocks, right? You and I have been around long enough to know some of the things that go on in the world, and we also know that, you know, they're not always on the up and up. And I'm not saying the ones you're taking are not on the up and up, but we do know that that is an area that there's some funky business going on. How do you identify and make sure that you're not on the wrong end of a bad deal?
Well, first thing I do is I don't put all my eggs in one basket. So if I have on LinkedIn, I have a high risk, high reward portfolio that I list a lot of all of these stocks are on there. And I don't put 100% of my personal assets into these stocks. And I'm not going to mortgage my house and buy just these penny stocks. And I own a lot of them. And the thing is, if I own 10 stocks and I put $1,000 in each stock and nine of them fail and I lose $9,000, but the one has a 1,000% return on investment, well, you're not going to even remember the other stocks. You're not going to care about the $9,000 you lost. And that's kind of the way I do this. And then also, if in that scenario, you're putting $10,000 into these things, hopefully you have a $100,000 portfolio. So you can have, $90,000 in other things you can invest in. I love royalty companies. There's a company called Sandstorm. Royalty companies are great because they have royalties coming from, lots of different mines. So if there's a problem in one mine or a mine in one country gets nationalized by the government or something happens, a hurricane comes in, hurricanes come into different parts of Mexico and they shut down mines. It doesn't necessarily kill your investment because they might have 20, 30 or 40 different mines, paying them royalties. So that's a way to kind of diversify yourself a little bit. I tell you the biggest thing I do is I read everything on the website. I read all the filings. Nobody reads the filing. I read the filing and I read them and I take a highlighter and highlight them. And I have a friend that does this kind of stuff that knows way more than me. And I call my buddy and he reads it and we talk about it. And I also go to the shareholder meetings and I have a list of questions and I ask my questions and I introduce myself to the CEOs of these companies. And, that a lot of people, most people don't do that kind of stuff.
Right.
Let me tell you one more thing. This Tonto Gold Company, the CEO of that company worked for a company called Lionor. Lionor, when he started, was a $40 million market cap, and it was a dormant company. 8 years later, it was either the largest or one of the largest nickel mining companies in the world, and it was sold for $6.2 billion. I think it was Canadian dollars, but still. It went from $40 million to $6.2 billion in 8 years. $1,000 turned into $62,500. That's the kind of returns you can get on these companies, some of these companies.
So what would be, in your mind, I mean, obviously there's no way of knowing, but from the time you locate them or find them, is there an average amount of time that you find out that, hey, this really does have a shot, or is there a time you say, you know what, this is just crap, I made a mistake, I'm getting out?
I got a good example. I bought into Tonto Gold. I started buying Tonto Gold in 2012. They bought an iron ore mine in Mexico. And when they did the deal, the iron ore prices were about $120 a ton. Iron ore, as fell off a cliff. The prices went down to $38 a ton. And the cost of production down there was about $55 a ton. So they were screwed. The original stock I bought, I paid an average of about 59 cents a share. Well, Tonto Gold pulled back. It went down to less than 2 cents just recently. A 52-week low is just under 2 cents. Well, I bought more shares because of all these people involved in this company. They're not going to just have one failure and then just go home and, cry to their mom or something. These guys are not going to give up. They're not going to put their name on a company and let it turn into a pile of, of smelly stuff. They're gonna make it work. In my opinion, it was worth buying more. I had breakfast with a guy that was a billionaire not long ago, And he told me what he does is he researches what he invests in, and then if he likes it, he buys it. If it goes up, he sells it. If it goes down, he buys more. That was his philosophy. You know, that's probably oversimplified to what the guy does in everything he does. But you know, if you just got to do your research on this thing, and if it goes down, you can reevaluate what's going on. But if your original research is still valid, then buy some more. It's funny. If most people, if they're going to buy a new Corvette, and the Corvettes are 70 grand, and you researched it, and you know they're pretty much 70 grand everywhere you look, and then all of a sudden, you know, somebody was selling a Corvette for 50 grand, most of us would buy it. But when it comes to stocks and investing, you know, you find a company, you like it, it's a dollar, you think you're going to buy it, and then it goes to 50 cents, and now all of a sudden you don't want to buy it. Everybody knows they should buy low and sell high. But in practice, I think 90% of the people in the market, they'll say that, but then they do the opposite. And that's and with these penny stocks, the prices are so low that, you know, you can buy thousands of shares for you know, a couple hundred bucks sometimes. And it's also really easy for a penny stock to go from, you know, they could put one great project into the company and the stock could go from 2 cents or 4 cents to 50 cents. That's like a, you know, I don't know what the return is on that, but if Apple were to do that, it would have to go up to thousands of dollars a share. It's just not, you know, it might happen over a long period of time, but it's not going to happen in a day or a week or something.
No, I understand. Look, again, I'm a fairly skeptical kind of guy about these things. I still have as a reminder, pages and pages and pages of stuff that on my sheets now say not applicable. Okay. From buying some of this stuff. And I get it. And I've had some that paid off as well. And I know it takes the research. And again, it's just, you know, one of the things about buying, you know, typically markets when they go down are going to continue to go down. And I'm not necessarily looking to add into a losing position. Now, again, I look at what you're doing as more of a higher, not necessarily a higher risk, but a more of a model of, okay, I'm taking a shot here. I'm not really looking for, you know, a stock to go from 2 to 4. I'm looking for a stock to go from 2 cents to a dollar or more. And that's the risk I'm going to take. So if it does come down and I've got 1,000 invested, I'm happy to put another 500, 1,000 in. And I know that going in, would that be a good way to put it for you?
That's what I tell friends and family. You know, you put 1,000 into it, it drops, you know, put another couple hundred or 500 into it. And that averages your down, you know, my average price in was 59 cents until the iron ore price fell apart. That whole deal turned into nothing. And the price went down to less than 2 cents and I bought more shares. And I don't know what my average is now. I haven't done the math, but it's probably like around 20, 30 cents. So it brings my average cost in way down, and the shares I buy for 2 cents, if it goes to 50 cents, I can sell those shares and make, you know, if it goes to 20 cents, that's 10 times my money.
Right.
So 50 cents, I mean, I don't know what the math is, but it's a lot as far as return on investment.
Well,
so I can sell those shares.
It's a couple thousand percent on investment. I get what you're saying. Yeah. I think it's right. I mean, look, again, I have no problem with the philosophy, and your average cost, if you bought equal amount, is 30 cents in 10 of gold. If that's what you did, if you bought the equal amount, then you got 61 cents in half. So, but I mean, I appreciate that. And I think that those are, you know, reasonable trades to make, just as long as you understand that, you know, you are basically buying an educated lottery ticket, because again, I've had, you know, I have stories I could tell you that, you know, your hair would turn gray if it's not gray. And if you have hair, it might fall out when I get through telling you some of these stories. But again, I participate because I understand the risk and the reward that we're taking here. So I'm on your side when it comes to all these things. And I'm certainly, you know, not, listen, I'm going to buy some, what is it called? 10 gold. I know it's on your Twitter handle. So I know I'm going to go out and buy some on Monday, just because I'd break my heart if you made billions and I didn't have a share of it. So I have to go out and step in and buy some, but we're going to go out for a break here. I'm with Andrew Higgins, Drew Higgins. He's our new friend from California and also an investor and a trader, and is talking about some of these penny stocks and some very good philosophies. We're going to stop out for a break, but But remember, Andrew's being brought to you by Audible Books. And of course, to check it out and get a free trial, you go to audibletrial.com/The Bubba Show to get a free 1 month download and a free book download. And you know, we like Fed Up from our friend Danielle DiMartino Booth. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bob Horowitz will be right back after the break with more from Andrew Higgins. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and put you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with our new buddy, Drew Higgins, independent investor and trader and specialist in the, we'll call it the penny stocks mining stuff. And of course, obviously anybody who does the research, we can never fault the research that they do. I think it's great that you take the time to do it. And as I was telling you a story, and you were going to say something to me, but you know, I talked to the CEO, and I had some good buddies involved, and some of the biggest guys in Canada were in this stock. It was it started out as Soho Resources, and now I think it's Tejido Mining out of Mexico. And of course, it's still at it's still below zero, as I like to say. Fortunately, I was lucky enough to sell some of it on a rally because, you know, although they told me don't sell, I said, well, you guys can hold. I'm getting out a little bit. But in the meantime, so how do you see this forward?
Well, let me say something. One of the most important things in trading and investing is go from a position of risk to a position of no risk. So if you own a company, you put $1,000 into it, and the company doubles. Well, if you sell a little bit, a lot of people get, you know, it's greed and fear. So they get greedy. It doubles. Well, they think it's going to double again. You know, they don't want to sell it for $2,000. They want to sell it for $100,000. So they don't sell, and then it rallies, and then they hold it, and then they hold it all the way down to till when the rally falls off. So if it doubles, you know, sell a little bit. So maybe you sell part of it, and you get $500 out. Well, now your risk is only $500. So you're kind of lowering your risk exposure as the price goes up, and hold a position so that if it goes to $100,000 or whatever, you know, you have a small position. So you want to scale in. A lot of times scaling in and scaling out is good advice, and getting out of your risk as soon as you possibly can. That's like one of the first things you learn if you take a class on trading, is to, you know, go from risk to no risk as quickly as possible. But as far as where we're at now, the bull market in the metals has just started. And the evidence, in my opinion, is the cryptocurrency charts. Look at the cryptocurrency charts. Look at the chart of the U.S. dollar. Look at the 100-year chart, and then look at a six-month or a year chart of the dollar. You know, since about December, the dollar's just fallen off a cliff. You know, if you made 10% of in your stock portfolio, but the dollar loses 20%, have you really made any money? I mean, I don't think so. Not if you really do the math. But the cryptocurrencies are going to take off, and they already have taken off. The gold has just broken out. Silver will be next. The traditional mining companies, you know, the big ones that everybody knows about, those will be next. And then the little penny stocks, those are going to follow suit. And it's going to be, in my opinion, it's going to be a historic bull market. Everything goes in cycles, and the metals, the miners, they've been manipulated amazing. I mean, it's just mind-boggling, the manipulation, but they've been in a downdraft for a long time, and now it's just their turn. They're cycling up, and it's going to be a historic historic bull market in the metals and the miners.
Well, I've been in a bear market for 5 years since Jim Cramer said on CNBC, and me, him and I got into it, and he's when gold was 1900, and he says, buy. I says, you're nuts. It's not, I mean, at some point we're going to see some profit taking. Of course, I didn't expect it to go back to 1,000, but I certainly knew that it wasn't going to continue to go straight up. And I think that's one of the things that we always have to recognize in any market, is that no market goes straight up. Even the Dow Jones, which has basically gone straight up, has had moments where it didn't go up. And of course, eventually it's going to crack here. But all right, so I want to ask you about this dollar thing. All right, because again, this is one of the things I've never quite figured out. And we know that our Federal Reserve, we want a cheaper dollar because it creates more exports. And I go, well, that doesn't make sense to me. To me, they're like issuing a secondary on the cash I'm holding in my pocket. I don't like that. And I don't like the manipulation of the dollar, which I think is a big thing, that a big bonus to the cryptocurrencies. But what are your feelings of the Fed, if you have an opinion, and their ability to manipulate the currencies and kind of have these currency wars going on with other nations? Do you have any thoughts to that?
Well, I think that the Fed is illegal. I mean, it's unconstitutional. The Constitution says that only the U.S. government can print, can create money, and that gold and silver are money. So what the Fed creates is paper out of thin air. And then they don't just do it for free. When they create money, or currency is what it really is, they loan it to the government. They give the currency to the government. The government gives them bonds. And so everybody pays interest on the money that's created. And when you hear politicians say they want to get rid of the debt, if they're not talking about going to a gold standard, then they're either ignorant or lying. You know, if there's $1 million in circulation and you want to pay off the debt under the Federal Reserve system, where do you get the money? You go to the Federal Reserve and they print up another $1 million. So you get $1 million, pay off the $1 million that's in circulation, and now you're still in debt. It's a Ponzi scheme. It can never be paid off. reality is, and most, I read an article that Ron Paul, when he was a congressman, had a meeting in his office with a bunch of other congressmen, and they were talking about QE. At the beginning of the meeting, somebody raised their hand. One of the congressmen raised his hand, and he said, before we get started, could somebody explain to me what QE is? And Ron Paul wrote that some of these congressmen didn't even know that the dollar was no longer backed by gold. All they are is a reflection of the people that are voting for them. Most people don't understand what gold and silver are. You know, have you seen that video where the guy in San Diego offers to give someone a 100-ounce silver bar or a candy bar, and they pick the candy bar? The silver bar, even right now, is worth probably $1,900 or $1,800,
right,
something like that.
I agree. Look, you must have been reading all my stuff, because I am the master at calling the Federal Reserve a Ponzi scheme. On national TV, on Fox, and on every time I'm on my show, I do believe it's the biggest Ponzi scheme. But again, it is illegal for them to print money. So what does that say about fractional reserve banking, which is also printing money, even though nobody considers it as printing money? Is that also illegal?
I don't know.
Okay. No,
I don't know.
I'm a big advocate. I'm against it. So again, I don't like that the banks can, first of all, I don't believe any of the banks have enough money in reserve to back the money they put out. Number one. Number two, why should they be entitled to lend out 9 times or 10 times what they take in on deposit and then put it out? All they're really doing is creating more money, which is against all things that we know as people who really want to be in. So that goes back into what you're saying, and I'm in 100% agreement with you about the Federal Reserve and about what they're doing, which is why I'm also in agreement with you that I believe that the blockchain technology and the cryptocurrency world, you know, I have a few concerns about cryptocurrency, okay, and I want to ask you questions. Maybe you have the answers for me. And one of the concerns is I don't know how it's protected. In other words, even though my measly crappy dollar that I own has been devalued and stolen from me, I know I have it in my pocket. I know I can spend it, right? But now we're talking about all these, not only Bitcoin, which from one of the experts I talked to, they tell me that's like the Model T. There's all kinds of cryptocurrencies, Monero, Dash, BitShares, this. So where does it stop and how does it become real?
Well, in a way, cryptocurrencies are just fiat currencies. There are some that are being backed by silver. Or gold, or precious metals, I should say. And those are interesting ones. The two I like the most are Ethereum and Litecoin. But, and the cool thing about a cryptocurrency is, I mean, you can travel and be in another country, and you still have your, it's like you travel, you know, when you travel, you can't take more than $10,000 with you. You have to declare it when you get off the plane. But a cryptocurrency, you know, you can have it in your wallet and you could buy stuff in other countries with your cryptocurrency. And it's kind of avoids some of the restrictions that these, you know, you could go move to another country and have $1 million in your cryptocurrency account and still spend it and have access to it. So in those respects, it's really neat. And it's also kind of the future. I know, I'm not sure how old you are, but, you know,
I'm 60.
Well, we're about the same age. I still like carrying cash with me. And I see these kids, you know, at Starbucks, and they have their little thing on their phone and all that. And I'm not quite up to that yet. I like cash. And, you know, but that's the future. The whole cryptocurrencies and, you know, the governments are getting involved in cryptocurrencies now. And, you know, there's talking about denominating some of their national currencies in a cryptocurrency. And the whole blockchain thing, the blockchain is, if you think the internet has changed the world, blockchain is going to change the world more in ways that blockchain experts haven't even thought of yet. It's just going to be such a big revolution. Everybody's going to be in blockchain. The way you go through an escrow when you buy a house is going to change. They can, you know, everything is just, it's just going to affect everything. People don't even understand what the technology is. I don't really fully understand it, but it's going to change all of our lives. It's probably going to happen in the next couple of years.
Well, when we come back from the break, I want to get what you think blockchain is, because again, I'm trying to educate myself. We're going to step out of our break. We'll be right back. We'll be right back with Drew Higgins. And we will come back with Drew Higgins, but we did want to remind you that today's show is being brought to you by the mattress people at Casper.com, bringing their brand new technology to give you the best night's sleep ever, 100 free night trial, and also $50 off of your mattress purchase. All you have to do is go to CasperTrial.com/The Bubba Show. Again, for $50 off, it's CasperTrial.com/The Bubba Show. Make sure you check out and hook up on my YouTube channel and get Bubba's Bottom Line every single day. We do a full episode on the weekends and then 5 minutes every day just to give you an update of what's going on in the markets. Also, check out LibertyTalk.fm so that you can download the Bubba Show every day as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. We're going to step out of here for break. We'll come back with more with our new friend, Drew Higgins. Talk a little bit more about the miners and some of the penny stocks he likes with The Bubba Show. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz, and this is The Bubba Show. We'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Drew Higgins, an independent investor and a new friend of the program, is going to become on more regular to talk about things because we respect his ability to look at some of the penny stocks and kind of help everybody invest a little bit better in some better investments, take a little a shot here and there. So Drew, you and I agree on the Fed. We agree on a lot of things. Now, the blockchain, I know that already China and Russia use blockchain technology to trade gold for oil. And they also are going to, obviously, if you didn't read it last week, but they're eliminating the petrodollar, and it's going to be now backed for them. It's going to be backed by the yuan. Okay, so I know you don't know, we don't all know a ton about it, but what is your view of the blockchain and what does it do? What does it mean?
Well, blockchain is a way of, it's like, it's just like say you own property in a third world country and the dictator comes to power and he wants to give your property to one of his buddies. Blockchain is a way where you no longer will have to go to the county recorder's office. It'll be a way of recording the transfer of property or a way of recording, like if I buy your car and I give you 20 bitcoins for your car. Then it records and keeps track, and it's not centralized. So there's going to be miners all over the planet, and everybody sort of keeps track of that transaction, of every transaction. And And then if later you try to use or I try to use the same Bitcoins that I gave you for the car for something else, the miners all compare their notes and they say, wait a second, Drew, you know, gave those Bitcoin to Todd. He no longer owns them. He's trying to use them a second time, and it's invalidated. So it's a way to really cut down on fraud and all kinds of stuff, and keep track of all kinds of things. They're using blockchain for back office stuff. They're using it for inventory. They're using it. It's going to take over the world in about 2 years. If you really want to understand it, because I'm not the world's best expert on it, but go on YouTube and look for a TED Talks where people are talking about blockchain. And everybody should have a basic understanding of what's going on with blockchain, because it's going to be bigger than the internet.
Okay. I'm still concerned. You know, I hear what you say, and I'm getting a better feel for the blockchain technology, but I also understand, and I go back to the cryptocurrencies, because I used to bash them, honestly, and I go back to when they first started, and I go, well, what happened if I was in Mt. Gox? They took all my money and ran away twice. Okay, there has been a couple of fumbles here, in here, and does that not concern you at all? That there's, you know, that you do you really know where the money's at? I mean, does that not affect what you think?
Well, here's the thing, I don't put all my eggs in that basket. I own some cryptocurrencies, the Ethereum and the Litecoin, and I own them. I feel comfortable owning them. I intend to buy more, but I also own some physical precious metals. So, and I'm buying more silver. So I have some physical silver in my possession. For a while, I also have, some silver outside of the country, and some gold outside of the country. So I have physical metal, and I think everybody should own some physical metal. And I also own the mining companies. If gold goes up 500%, silver will go up 2,000%, and the right mining companies will go up anywhere from 10 to 35,000% or more. So you want to have a little bit of all of that, and then throw some cryptocurrencies in there also. The main problem is the dollar. I mean, you know, the dollar's dying. In 71, Nixon took us off the gold standard, and they worked a deal out with the Saudis and basically put us into an oil standard with the petrodollar relationship, and that relationship is falling apart. Like you said, the Chinese now have they're about to open a futures contract in oil that's backed by gold. They have one already backed by the yuan, and the Russians and the Chinese are doing deals. Countries all over the world. It's amazing. I put a chart on LinkedIn on it. And just everybody all over the world, they're rejecting the dollar. The dollar's being rejected all the time. I read one report where container ships, you know, coming into certain ports in some countries are being rejected because they're goods. They want U.S. dollars, you know, and they don't want to trade in U.S. dollars or U.S. treasuries. The whole, in my opinion, the treasury market has already gone belly up, and they're just I don't know who's buying all the treasuries, but I think they're being bought by, you know, covert groups or something. I don't believe there is a treasury market anymore. And I think they're just propping up the dollar. But the petrodollar, if you want to kill America and you take a shot at us, our military is bigger than anybody else. We'll destroy you. So the way to kill America is through the dollar. If they kill the dollar first, then we won't be able to afford our military. That's World War III has already started. World War II did not start for America on December 7th. I mean, it started with the Flying Tigers. It started with FDR imposing sanctions on the Japanese. He nationalized all the assets that Japan had in the United States. All kinds of things happened before they bombed Pearl Harbor. When FDR said it was an unprovoked attack, those words were not necessarily true. And I'm not saying the Japanese were the good guys. I'm just saying that World War III has already started. We're already having proxy wars. We have special forces guys in Syria. We've had all these sanctions going on. Sanctions are an act of war. If I do something to you that causes all the money in your bank account to come to me or to be frozen, you know, you and I are basically at war. You're going to be pissed. And that's what we're doing all over the world. These things have already started. And, you should definitely, you know, it's just World War III has already started. You should own some gold. You should own some silver. And you should have some cryptocurrencies.
Okay.
You should have some mining companies, too, because the upside on these is so, so amazing.
Okay, so let's say, all right, so you're advising somebody. We know you don't do it. You're an independent guy. But you're advising somebody, what percentage of my portfolio should be gold, silver, and cryptocurrencies?
I don't know. I would say that the average... I think the standard is 10% in precious metals. I don't know what the percentages are. I think everybody is different. And I think that you should own all of those things. You should own some cryptocurrencies. You should own some precious metals. And you should own some mining companies. You should have some of these penny stocks that have such upside potential. And you should also have some of the bigger players and some of the royalty companies. I think the stock market's going to go higher, but I think there's a lot of risk in the stock market, and we could have a pretty big correction at any time. We're overdue for a correction. Look at the stock market. They're just doing buybacks on their stocks.
Right.
And part of the problem, too, is Europe is worse than us. So capital is flowing from Europe, especially when we start talking about World War III. Well, Europe's a lot closer to Russia and all this stuff. So people are moving their money out and they're moving it here. And it's not necessarily because we're so much better. What do they say when, in regards to the dollar? It's the prettiest girl at the ugly girl party. That's kind of how America is. The whole world is in so much debt that it's mind-boggling when you look at the $20 trillion national debt. It's way more than that. It's probably over $100 trillion when you count all the unfunded liabilities and everything else. So the dollar is actually a form of debt. So you should have some gold and silver, because gold and silver is something that is not backed by debt. And mining companies are a proxy on gold and silver. If they make gold and silver illegal to own and you own miners, what was that company during the Great Depression, the gold stake? Was it gold stake or I forget the name of it, but it made like thousands of percent return on investment. It was one of the, it just skyrocketed throughout the Depression because of gold, you know, FDR right. made gold illegal for people to own. And so I don't know the percentages.
That's okay. I'm sorry I got to cut you short, but we will leave it at that note. This has been Andrew Higgins, or Drew Higgins. He'll be back again, I'm sure. So Andrew, or Drew, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Hey, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
And that was Andrew Drew Higgins. And this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, LibertyTalk.fm. You can download The Bubba Show every single day. Make sure that you do. We will call it a day. We will see you back here tomorrow on Thursday, Football Thursday again. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We always appreciate having you aboard. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you tomorrow.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.